you just tuned into the hippest way to start and grow your indie author career. Learn the ins, the outs, and all the all-arounds of self-publishing with the team from D2D and their industry-influencing guests. You're listening to Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital. Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in live, if you are live. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you missed out on the really handsome guys, both bearded and masculine. Of course, our guest today, Jeff Putnam, far more muscularly developed than I am at this point, but only for now. I'll be catching up, buddy. But welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us on Self-Publishing Insiders, man. I'm glad to have a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted you on, now we've been kind of in communication for a while now. You are a self-published author. You kind of went a slightly different route than most of the folks we talked to went, in that you're using tools like Gumroad and you are kind of in control of you know, the inventory and everything there. But you recently hit me up to kind of look over something that you have produced that is aimed at helping authors become pros at this stuff, helping them develop pro skills in terms of how they're writing, writing copywriting, writing a novel even. So I wanted to bring you on there just to talk about that kind of thing, because I know our audience is going to be interested in it. So why don't you let's open and talk a little bit about that, man. What prompted that?
So I went the Gumroad route, which, if people aren't familiar with it, Gumroad is a seller's platform, much like Etsy, where you can sell really anything from digital information products to physical products. You're in control of the pricing, how much you want to sell. Obviously, you need to fulfill it yourself if you're shipping physical items. But when I got into the information product game, that was the first place I went. I had heard good things about it from some of the top content and information course creators on social media. So I went that route. With my two books, they're both on Amazon. I went the self-publishing through KDP route there, for Empire Divided and the sequel to that, The Perimeter.
Yeah.
But I get so many people always sending me DMs or emails, and they're asking, what do you do to get into the zone to write like you do? Because I'll throw up, you know, my, Grammarly insights, and like, you know, last week 139,000 words were checked. You're like, how do you write that much? Well, one, this is my job. Yeah. You know, I've got more time to write than most people. But two, it's all about having a schedule and a system that you can exploit the living crap out of.
Yeah.
To just write at will.
Yeah. And so what? How? You're using Grammarly, and I've always liked Grammarly. I've started using Pro Writing Aid, which is very similar. But how are you managing it? Like, do you have a target you're trying to hit each day?
Yeah, so most people that follow me, they know I'm up at 3:30 in the morning. I go to the gym at 4. I come home usually around 5:15. That's when I'll make my coffee, which I have now. Yeah. grab my pipe, my little pouch of tobacco, and my laptop, and I'll head out to the patio, light my tiki torches, and just sit there on the patio. And I have a goal, no less than 1,000 words by 7 o'clock. That's an hour and a half almost. If you can't do 1,000 words in an hour and a half, you know, you don't have hands. I just sit down and write, man. And one of my friends, he's written 26 books.
Right.
A guy named Adam Lane Smith. When I was first getting into the writing game, he told me, it doesn't matter about the spelling. It doesn't matter about the punctuation. It doesn't matter about the coherency of what you're writing. Just get in there and write. And in a couple of days, go back and fix it and polish it and edit it. And so I just sit down and I don't care if it's coherent. I don't care if I'm repeating myself or whatever. You need the clay before you can make the bricks. And so that's what I do. I sit down for 90 minutes, pound out 1,000 words, whether they make sense or not. And I don't worry about being coherent or consistent. I just need the content there for me to fix later.
Now, do you wait until you've got the entire manuscript before you edit, or do you do any editing as you go?
If I tried to edit as I go, I would never finish writing.
Right.
I won't, because that's what held me and what holds a lot of people back is perfectionism.
Right.
You know, they're writing it and, oh, I misspelled that word. So what? Just keep going.
Yeah.
Or yeah. I didn't phrase this the way I meant to. Well, you can type in a rephrase so you don't forget. And that's one thing, but going through and, oh, I didn't say this in the right order, or don't worry about that. Just write it down, because you'll lose your momentum.
Yeah.
If you try to stop and edit, you might get 250 words that look great when you could have had 2000 to 2500 words written, because you spent too much time trying to perfect it. Just get it written first.
Yeah. So you aim for 1000. Do you ever get in like a zone and you just kind of blast through? What's your upper limit?
Yeah. When I was writing my books, like I wrote Empire Divided in 35 days. Yeah. I wrote The Perimeter in 54 days. And I sat down with the goal of 1000 words a day. Now, some of those days I'd sit down and I'd start writing that morning. I just can't get more than 500 words out of me.
Yeah.
And so I'll go handle, you know, the kids homeschooling, whatever. And then I'd go back and sit on my porch and I'd pound out 3,500 words.
Yeah.
Or I'd be writing and I'd get into the 1000 mark in 35, 45 minutes. Well, I'm not stopping until 7 anyway when the kids got to get up. So I just keep pounding, and wherever it stops, it stops.
Do you, are you an outliner?
I am and I am not. I love outlining.
Some of the story, by the way. That's why I'm prompting questions that have answers I want you to share, because I like your process.
I like the outlining process because it builds the blueprint and the roadmap, right?
Right.
All you really need to know is your starting point and your ending point. If you know the promise and you can deliver the promise,
right,
you can build a map to get there. So if I'm writing fiction, I'll write the ending, right? That's the first thing I'll do. And then the opening scene will probably get written last after I've written, you know, 90,000 words.
Right, right.
Nonfiction, I take big things and I make them small. And then I take those small things and I make them bigger on their own.
Yeah.
So the big idea and the concept is the main topic. I break that down into 10 to 20 smaller problems. And then I extrapolate on those small problems like they are the whole problem.
Yeah.
And those are your chapters.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a great way to organize that. I've always been terrible with outlines. So I'm always impressed by people who actually manage to do an outline.
I mean, I never stick to the outline,
right?
But I make it, and making it gets me started. Right. Yeah. And so I'm started, I'm working, and cool. I have a whole other idea that has nothing to do with what I wrote, but I'm going to write it down anyway, because I'm not editing at this point anyway.
How far afield do you get on this? Like, do you, how close do you try to stick to the outline?
Man, look, the program that I sent you to look over,
mm-hmm.
That I'm sure we'll be talking about here soon.
Yep. Yep.
Was written by accident because I started off writing something else entirely. And then as I was writing, my ideas came and I went, well, this isn't what I was going to make. So let me just put this into another file, retitle this something else, and just keep going with this.
Yeah.
So sometimes I sit down to write one thing and I end up writing five different things. The outline is only there to serve as I have a starting point. Where I go from there doesn't matter.
You at least have something. So yeah, you can't.
I've got something and I can look at it and I can repackage it if need be.
Very good. Yeah. How does that happen pretty often?
Every single time.
So you're the accidental writer.
If I sit down to write a blog, which you guys can go to my website. It's jeffputnamauthor.com. And you'll see I've got maybe 20, 30 entries there.
Yep.
But none of those blog posts were written intentionally. They started off as I was writing something else. And then my mind started doing, you know, like the dog when he sees a squirrel, he just gets distracted. And it turned into something else.
Yeah. That's the best kind, man. Sort of free writing, basically.
Free writing is amazing. Yeah. Free writing is amazing. It's hard to do intentionally, though. I can only do it accidentally.
Yeah. That's good, though. And you have a general direction, so that helps. But so you brought up the program. Let's talk a little bit about that. Like what are we calling it? What did you call it at this point?
It's 7 Secrets to Write Like a Pro.
Okay.
And I wanted to give something to people that will smash every barrier that I had when I was trying to write for the first time. Because I'll openly admit that my first book, Empire Divided.
Yep.
It is loaded with bad writing. Now, I'm not changing it. It's published and it'll forever be for sale because, you know, a lot of people like it. It's got like 35, 38 reviews on Amazon, you know, 4.5 stars. People love it. And I've gotten incredible feedback about it. I think I started a cultural movement with it, but that's a whole different conversation. Everyone starts out writing and then they sit there and they stare at that blank page and they go, I don't know what to write. And they stop writing before they start writing.
Right.
And so, or they've, you know, they get that shiny object syndrome. I'm going to write this story. It's going to be about this and it's going to have this, you know, mystery and sex and intrigue. And it's going to be better than Bond.
Right.
And they sit down and they tear it up for like 12 hours straight. And then they fall off because they lose the story.
Right.
And so I have 3 books now that are in my folder here that I need to finish writing. I've got like 8 chapters of each one written. But then I get sidetracked with other projects or I get stuck on the story.
Yeah.
And those have been in my bin for probably 2 years. And then as I was writing The Perimeter and Empire Divided, both of them this year, I wrote back to back, I developed this system that started really paying off where I could just write anything on demand. And it was good writing. It was copywriter level writing. So I wanted to package that and bring it to market for everybody that wants to break into the writing game because the barriers to entry to writing are very small. But they still stop people in their tracks.
Why do you think that is? What is it? What barrier to entry prevents people from doing the actual writing?
I think the biggest element is most people call it writer's block, but it's actually writer's anxiety.
Yeah.
They're worried about being judged on what they wrote. They're worried that people will look at it, point, and laugh. They have imposter syndrome. Who am I to write, to be a writer? Who am I to write a book? You know, and one of my favorite quotes comes from Ernest Hemingway, because I always romanticized being a writer when I was a kid. Jack London, Ernest Hemingway, Herman Melville, they were like my muses as a kid where I just fantasized about being a writer.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm going to be alone on a sailboat, drunk with a typewriter and a machine gun shooting at marlins while I write the great American novel. Right. It was Hemingway all the way.
Yeah.
But you know, people are probably going to want to crucify me for saying this, but Hemingway is a really overblown writer.
Yeah.
He just wrote stuff that would sell.
Right.
He wrote copy in long form.
Yeah.
And his trick was the only thing you have to do is write one true statement.
Yeah.
one true statement. If you don't know anything to write, you don't know what you're going to write. Write one true statement and then build on it.
I like that a lot, man. Yeah.
And so now whenever I'm sitting down, that's the one thing I think of is here's the topic. You know, say it's leadership.
Right.
What's the one true thing? The truest thing about leadership. It's 100% a skill.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So now I need to build on the fact that leadership is a skill. I break that down, and next thing you know, I've got a book about leadership.
Excellent. And is that the process of evolution for everything you've written so far? Other than the accidental writing.
it's the process that I follow to start writing everything. And then once I start writing, I would be a fool to ignore where the page wants to go.
Right.
That sounds pretty woo-woo, doesn't it? It sounds kind of like New Age hippie stuff. But that's what happens. I mean,
yeah, I understand.
You're right. You know the story will go where the story wants to go.
Right. It is. It ends up being you telling you what the story is going to be. Some deeper part of you is explaining to a higher part of you or a lower part of you maybe what that story is going to be. And that's fiction or nonfiction, right? Is that your experience?
Yeah, I mean, well, fiction and nonfiction are very much the same in that, you know, you still have the developmental arc that the character will take. You are the character of the nonfiction, if it's like a self-help, you know, genre,
right?
Or the subject of, you know, if it's a biography or whatever, still goes through a developmental arc with a rising action and a falling action. You know, being broken in half by the climax, it still happens. It's just that arc is present in both, whether it be fiction, nonfiction, a blog post, you're still taking people on a journey. And that journey is self-determining as far as the writer is concerned.
Right. So you are one of the people I know, the few people, I actually know quite a few people who use Google Docs to do your writing. Is there a reason why you chose Google Docs?
It's simple.
Yeah.
It's very simple. I can sync it to my phone. You know, I have an Android. I didn't do the iPhone thing. So, and I use a Chromebook.
Okay.
Everything is synced. It's easy. I could probably sync everything with some other software on a MacBook or whatever. But, you know, if you're drinking coffee and smoking a pipe at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have to get up and go to the bathroom. It happens.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm not carrying my laptop from the patio and all this. I can put my phone in my pocket. And if I'm writing, I can get up, open up Docs, and just keep going, finish whatever I have to do in the bathroom, then go right back to the patio and keep writing.
Look at you. You keep it going, man. There's no excuse to stop. You keep going.
Yeah. You know, my friend Adam, who, you know, I mentioned earlier, he uses Evernote, and Evernote's really cool.
Yeah.
But there's an adoption process with it that you have to kind of onboard yourself with. You know, you try to get into, well, you use this, and then you click your notes, and then you have this and this. Docs is easier. I can just open it up, start writing, and I can make two separate blank documents, for one for outline, one for notes, or three, you know, and then one to actually write on. You know, I'm not good at multitasking. Multitasking is just failing at a lot of things at once. So the less steps I can take, the better. So Google Docs for me.
I'm noticing that I'm dropping my videos, dropping here from people who use or who prefer Google Docs. Is great for collaborative writing. Do you ever do anything like that? You collaborate with anybody?
Yeah. I did a couple of things with an old business partner of mine, and I really like that I can see him writing in real time. I've done it with a couple of clients, because I have writing clients as well, where I can see them writing in real time, and I can watch their style develop every time they're sitting down to write. I can see how they're improving their writing. I can see how they are working on their skill of character development and story development and flow and cadence and making sure they're not switching between the two different tenses of third person writing. And then I can stop and leave a note or a comment live. So yeah, it's really good for collaborative writing, especially if it's a group project or a multi-authored information product. It's really easy and convenient.
Yeah. I used to love using that years ago, back when the original first iPad came out, and I used it for everything until I had a crash or something. And then I kind of switched, but I've always got this like urge to go back to Google Docs for some reason. There's just something about it because it is available everywhere. And because it's sort of a prolific app basically. But I use Scrivener now, so that's hard to turn back once you start using.
Scrivener was the first thing that I downloaded.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't need all these buttons.
Yeah.
I don't. I just need something that's equivalent to Microsoft Word.
Right.
Without, paying $190 for Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
And Google Docs was it, man.
I'm terrible. Like I probably only use like less than 1% of the features that Scrivener has, but I like the corkboard, which appeals to me from my like film and TV days. And I like being able to easily move chapters and scenes around as I need them. Just drop and drag and drop. I like that. So not that I use that particular feature a lot, but I do every now and then use it. So it's good to know it's there.
Yeah. I'm that writer that I like controlled, organized chaos.
Yeah.
So if I was writing before we had, laptops or whatever, I would probably have papers everywhere where I'm like, okay, I wrote this scene. Now I wrote this possible scene I might plug in there, and I'm having like taped to the walls and running along the floor. Yeah. I might storyboard by just dropping the pages down the hallway in chronological order and then walk myself physically through the story. I'm that guy.
I always pictured you as having a murder board, actually. I figured
a murder board
somewhere in a basement. You had a big giant whiteboard with yarn stretched all over it.
I mean, I've got the whiteboard that's over here.
You've got the whiteboard, right?
And I write down who's going to die. But I haven't written a lot of fiction in probably the past 9 months, because I had one idea for a nonfiction book that I was writing with this like self-righteous indignation.
Yeah.
When I wrote it. And it's kind of like the Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And like, he wrote it with a white hot intensity, like 165,000 words for a chapter, but he wrote it just angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that book was written, but it's only like 40,000 words. Couldn't be angry.
We got a question from YouTube from Jesus Is My King. That's a classy name. So general question, can you use DDD and Ingram Spark? Just curious. I'm guessing what they're asking is, do you use either Draft to Digital or Ingram Spark with your work?
I have not. I'm the simple guy. If I had an old school, typewriter, I would probably just use that.
right.
I'm a bit of a purist, but that's only me. I just have my own particular method
of writing. Yeah, we're here for you. If you ever decide, we'll help you.
Of course.
So, that's the thing is, and you, that's something we talk to authors about. I talk to authors about this all the time. There is the idea of an author platform, which is that's your audience, essentially. That's your the reach that you have. So your platform can be an email list and social media and your website and that sort of thing. But also, there's your platform, like where are your books available? And you chose Gumroad. I'm guessing.
And Amazon.
And Amazon. So, and you gave some of your reasons for Gumroad earlier, I believe, right?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
You gave some of your reasons for choosing Gumroad over like other distribution platforms.
It was there. I believe. And yeah. Kartra still had a whole lot of kinks to work out. You know, a lot of people migrated from Gumroad over to Kartra, and Gumroad gets a bad rap because it's not really well known outside of Twitter, but that is my platform, you know.
Yeah.
30-something thousand followers following my content right. there, and Gumroad is familiar to them. So that's where they go. It would be better if I cut out a middleman and didn't pay them fees and all this other, but you're still going to pay someone fees. If I'm using Stripe, like I do when I sell, you know, autographed physical copies of my books, right. it's still going to be, you know, a middleman getting his cut.
Right. But
Gumroad was there. It was convenient. The user interface is extremely just easy. A dinosaur like me can do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty much there. It's the convenience and it's familiar to people on my platform.
And you hit on it, and that's what it is, right? You're using the sales platform that syncs best with your author platform. To just kind of swing it around in marketing language. But yeah, you're going where your audience is, which is good.
Yeah.
So we got some other questions and comments popping up. Let's look at Tom Ray on YouTube. Says, I used to have notebooks full of three ring paper written in pencil with 300 page novels, but then I went to actually try to publish. I wrote 1500 pages of a series in Google Docs ported to Scrivener. So wow, ported, you went the long way around.
Yeah, my kind of guy.
Exactly. I admire writing. I used to write everything by hand too. There's a sort of nostalgic kind of thing that happens there. I still do a lot of I write journal entries by hand, but I don't do
it. It has to be plain paper though, and it has to be a good stock weight. You can't have lines on the journal paper. It has to be a completely blank cream paper with a leather binding. It smells incredible.
Do you go out and like you kill a deer for the skin of your book and then
I haven't yet, but now I've got something to do this fall.
We'll get you making your own journals out of your own hewn wood from your land.
That would fit in perfectly with my entire aesthetic.
That's your brand right there.
That's my brand.
Aaron Delaney on YouTube says, Jeff is one of the reasons I started writing a journal a month ago. Plus, his Twitter is awesome. So
awesome,
some
man.
Love from the outside. Here's Hellraisers asks, any advice on poetry and songwriting? Are we talking about different monsters here? By the way, great advice and life stories on Jeff's Twitter. So poetry and songwriting, what's your perspective there?
I am terrible at writing poetry. And I've never tried to write a song. But I'm attracted to underground music. So one of my favorite singer-songwriters is this guy named Tyler Childers. There's some language on there, so if you're not comfortable with it, don't. But he has this one song called White House Road. And it's kind of what you would expect from the life of an average guy living in dirt poor West Virginia, you know, Eastern Kentucky, coal miner country, right? And all of his songs are stories.
Right.
You know, they still have the hook, you know, the chorus, but they're all stories. They all start somewhere and end somewhere else. He has another one called Nose on the Grindstone. And it's a story about, you know, his dad telling him, you know, stay away from the pills, stay away from fast women, keep your nose on the grindstone. And, you know, there's another story that he tells in a song about hard times coming, where he's just, and there, I don't even think there's a chorus to that song. He just basically sings a short story. It's about having to work your fingers to the bone in a mine, hopefully he'll get a job in a mine so he can pay for this baby that's on the way. Right. They're real life stories, and I've always been attracted to the storytellers. So if you can tell a story which will take your character on an arc, you know, who they are, something happening, and who they become, mm-hmm. you know, where they change in that progression, you can write a song. Another one right off the top of my head before I forget. It's Coulter Wall, Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
You've heard that one. There is no chorus to that song at all. It's, I worked in a mine. I met a pretty girl. I asked her dad for her hand. I married her. I saved up money from the coal mine. I married her. I came home, found her cheating. I found her down at the creek with her lover, and I shot her. That's the whole song.
Okay.
But it's beautiful storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is actually good advice all around. What people forget is no matter what the type of writing, it is always a story. I was a copywriter for decades, and that was the secret, was you're always telling some kind of story. There's always a twist and a hook and a beginning, middle, and end, no matter whether you're writing, you know, an article that's 500, 800 words, or you're writing something that's only 140 characters. Your goal is to tell a story. So, all right, man. Well, we're kind of at the close. I want to make sure we plug all your stuff. Now, you've got this course. It's available on Gumroad, right?
Not yet. It will be tomorrow.
Tomorrow it'll be available.
Tomorrow when I come home from the gym, it'll be like 5:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
That's when I'm going to fire away, guns blazing. I sent it to you, a whole lot of other authors. I sent it to email marketers, writing coaches, copywriters. And everyone was just, oh, this is awesome. So I know it's going to be great for people who want to break into the writing game, who've just stared at the screen like we all have, and I don't know what to write, or I'm stuck, exactly. Or I don't know what good writing is. And so now the link, you got it right there. Tomorrow morning at 5:30, it'll go live, and you guys will be able to jump in there, grab a copy. It'll be on sale for the launch weekend, but after that, the price is going up like everything.
Yeah,
but that's business.
You've got tons of other things that are available on that link as well. So
I've got tons of other things on there. Really old work that I should probably go back and redo because some of it is again terrible writing, but I won't. Because you can compare the old to the new and you can see how far you've grown. And it's just like a character. It grows and develops over time, the more things that happen to it.
Yeah. And the value is still there regardless. So you're covered. All right. Well, everybody, the link on screen for those of you listening, it's app.gumroad.com/Jeff Putnam. And I did drop that in the comments on this video on both Facebook and YouTube, so you can click through from there. Make sure you buy plenty of Jeff's stuff. He really needs the money from what
I have to feed these 9 children.
He's got the kids. He needs to feed the kids. So, but yeah, man, I really appreciate you taking the time chatting with me here and with the viewers and listeners. So, thanks so much for what you're doing to help everybody out.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. And another shameless plug, you can get both of my books, Empire Divided, A Modern Man's Path Back to His Tribe, and the sequel to that book, The Perimeter. If you go to jeffputnamauthor.com, you can find it there, or you can just look them up on Amazon and see them there.
Excellent. All right, everybody. Before we go, I'm going to grab that link and I'm going to drop that into the chat as well, just so that people watching live get they get the benefit of the easy click. So
nice.
Check that out, jeffputnamauthor.com. And everyone else, if you're listening, thanks for tuning in. Of course, if you are, if you want to catch on to more stuff like this one, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube and Facebook. You can get to both our channels, but with a /draft2digital on either one of those. In fact, just go around the web putting /draft2digital after every URL and see what you get. You might find us everywhere. And be sure to bookmark d2d.live so that you can see countdowns to more content like this. We've actually got another live broadcast. Now, you people listening, this will have already happened for you, but we got another live broadcast happening tomorrow at noon Central. So tune in for that. You can ask me and the rest of the D2D crew all kinds of questions about publishing. And we'll be happy to take care of you. So, Jeff, thanks again for being a part of the show.
And of course, brother.
Everyone else, we will see you all next time. Take care.
That's it for this week's Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft2Digital. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with your will-be author friends. And start, build, and grow your own self-publishing career right now at draft2digital.com.